بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله، اما بعد. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم لا عيش إلا عيش الآخرة اللهم لا عيش إلا عيش الآخرة لا عيش إلا عيش الآخرة والحمد لله رب العالمين. Brothers and sisters, we thank Allah the Almighty, we praise Him, and we trust Him. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of ourselves. We bear witness that whomever Allah guides is guided aright, and whomever Allah leaves to error, no one can guide them. We ask Allah to give His blessings to His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and his companions and his family. My dear brothers and sisters, I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that today in one of His masjids, that today we may get closer to Allah. As always, I thank Allah for bringing myself and Brother Jihad back from a trip to United Kingdom in the city called Cardiff and Bristol. I have come to appreciate over the years the significance of making a dua, a supplication for one another. And Allah is my witness, in Jihad, He doesn't even know that while I was gone, I tried to think of every one of you by name, by face. If I didn't know your name, I tried to conjure up your face. And many of you I made dua for. I asked Allah, and I didn't make the same dua for everyone. I made a dua for Sheikh Hassan, a special dua for him. For Umar, Mukhtar, I made a special dua for you. And everyone I made a different dua for, everyone that I could remember. I just recently met a brother from Niger. He came to my office, Isa. I never met him. I never knew him before. He's been coming here for years. And because he came in my office, now I know him, I made dua for Isa. I made dua for every brother and sister that I can remember, my own family, and I tried to imagine your faces, and when I couldn't know, I didn't know your name, and even if I couldn't remember your face, then I made a specific dua for everyone here, because I know the significance of especially making dua for your brother and sister in their absence. Allah hears the dua. Make dua for each other. And when someone comes to you as a Muslim and does something for you, the best compensation that you can give him, say Jazakallah khaira. Allah is the one who gives compensation for everything. And you can't say anything better than that. And you can't compensate people better than that. You can give people money. And you can heap on them all the praise you want, but there's no better dua, no better thanks than to ask Allah that Allah compensates them and reward them with the best. Today's theme, and I'm going to make it short, so please get the point. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, according to Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, said, Allahumma la aisha illa aisha al-akhirah. Oh Allah, there is no life except the life of the hereafter. And I want to drum this point home. Even those of you specifically that I ask Allah to enrich you, I was careful that if I mentioned, oh Allah, give this brother riches of this world, but let that those riches not take him away from the akhirah. So I didn't just say, oh Allah, give brother so-and-so money, but give brother so-and-so money that he may spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want you to get this message very well, the words of the Prophet alayhi salat wa salam, Allahumma la'isha illa aisha al-akhirah. And I want every brother and sister to remember these words, because whenever you're confronted with a test, and you're going to be tested even today, tomorrow, next week, I want all of you to say, Allahumma la'isha illa aisha al-akhirah. Oh Allah, there's no life, there's no real life except the life of the hereafter. And what I'm going to focus on today, even though I may mention a number of hadith and a number of ayahs from Quran, I'm just going to focus on two hadiths, this one and two other ones. It's going to be, I want to drill it so you get it well, that there is no life except the life of the hereafter. And I have an assignment for you. I want you in the next few days to visit seven places. Seba'ah. I want you to visit, every one of you, in the next week, a hospital. Go visit a hospital, number one. Number two, I want you to visit a nursing home. A home where old people live. Number three, I want you to visit what they call an insane asylum, a psychiatric ward of a hospital where people have mental diseases. Number four, I want you to visit a homeless shelter in the next week. Number five, I want you to try to visit a refuge center, a place where refugees are. I want, even if we can get a bus, to take the brothers to go to Fort Dix and go visit the brothers and sisters from Kosovo. To visit them and to see what it's like to be a refugee away from your home. Number six, if you can, I want every brother and sister to go visit a prison. See what it's like being locked up in jail and not having your freedom. And after you go to the hospital, after you go to the insane asylum, after you go to the refuge center, homeless center, shelter, after you go to the nursing home, after you go to the insane asylum, after you visit all these places in the prison, then I want you, finally, the last step, I want you to go to a cemetery. Go to any cemetery. You don't have to go to Rosedale. Go any cemetery where people have died. And I want you to go to visit a cemetery and just stay there for a moment. And I want you to reflect. And I want you to reflect about your own life. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a man whom every believer wanted him to make dua for them. Can you imagine the supplication of the Prophet? There's a man who was old of age and he was very healthy. And he said that his health, his good eyesight and his good hearing was as a result of the dua that the Prophet made when he was a weak baby. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made the dua for him, and this man was healthy even at an old age. Every Muslim would seek the supplication of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even Uqaysa asked the Messenger of Allah to make dua that he would be one of the 70,000 people that would go to Jannah without any punishment and any accounting. He made dua for him, Uqaysa, and Uqaysa became one of those. Anta minhum, he said, you are one of them. As a result of the dua that the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salat wasalam made. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam made dua that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma would become knowledgeable of the Qur'an, and this man became one of the most knowledgeable and understanding of Al-Qur'an. It was as a result of the dua of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Prophet Muhammad made the dua that Umar ibn Khattab would become Muslim. Allah accepted the dua of the Prophet Muhammad, and Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu became not only a Muslim, but one of the great leaders among the Muslims. And go out through the history of the Islam, and you will find many cases where people asked the Prophet for supplication, and he made dua for them, and Allah answered his dua. But today, I want to go over a woman who asked the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, to make supplication for her. And I want you to consider the response of the Messenger of Allah. First, let me say this. Everywhere I go, I notice people who like to talk about their suffering. And they mention that no one has suffered as much as them. For instance, Jews. They talk about the Holocaust and that how many people, maybe 6 million or so people, Jews died in the Holocaust. We never minimize anyone's suffering. If they died and all of them died, then if we don't minimize it. We accept that they had great trials. Yeah, we accept that. So everyone claims that they had great trials, and you talk to the Indians, how many of them were killed in this land called America by the English who came over here and stole their land. And they talk about their own sense of adversity. When Jihad and myself, we went to a place called Bristol. We visited a museum called the Slavery Museum. And I wish I could take all of you there. I'm taking my family there because it was so significant to read the history of African slaves around the world. Some historians say that as many as 100 million slaves were taken out of Africa. When I read some of the history of some of those African slaves in America and in Europe, I cried. Jihad didn't even see me. I was back there crying, wiping my tears. He didn't see me. And if I were not careful, I would become angry at what was done to these slaves. It was so bad that some of the women who gave birth to their children killed their own children because they didn't want the children to grow up as slaves. And you cannot imagine the condition of some of those people, how they were treated less than animals. And you start naming all of the millions of black Africans that died on the way to America and on the way to Europe. And it was amazing and how they were treated and never got compensated for all the work that they did to build up these economies. You look at these economies today and how great, powerful they are, but you don't realize the essence of their wealth was because of the slave trade. So black people say, well, no one suffered as much as we. So black people complain, Indians complain, Jews complain, and all of them talk about how bad it was and that they were the worst. Today, I want to talk about whom we know is the worst, who received the worst adversity ever in the annals of history. We're going to talk about that person today. Conversely, other people talk about how wealthy they are, how much great they have, how much wealth they have, and they brag about how wealthy they are. Today, we're going to identify the person who had the most wealth. So today, we want to identify two people, the one with the worst adversity, and then the other one with the best of wealth, the best of goodness in this world, an amu. An amu means is the best of the na'im, or the best of all the blessings, the person who had the best, and is not Bill Gates. It's someone else. I'm going to talk about that, inshallah, in a moment. I want to begin this hadith. This hadith is mutafakun alayhi. You can find it in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. This is one of the two hadith that I want to discuss today, and it's just a really short khutbah. And it's interesting how the hadith begins, that Ibn Abbas, he says to a man, to Ata'a, Ibn Rabah, he says, أَلَا أُرِيكَ إِمْرَأَةٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ جَنَّةٍ. Do you want to see a woman of the people paradise? That's how the hadith begins. Do you want to see a woman who is or will be one of the people paradise? Now, you have to understand that the only way Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu can say that is that he got it from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not upon himself. He can't assign anyone to Jannah, and he doesn't know except what Allah and his Messenger reveals, what Allah has revealed to the Messenger Muhammad alayhi salat wa salam. And then he said, hadhihi marati sawda'a, a black woman, this black woman, atan Nabiyy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she came to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salat wa salam and said, inni asra'u, I have this disease that you call leprosy. Epilepsy. You know epilepsy? Seizures. You fall down with seizures. Wa atakashifu, and when I have these seizures, then I'm exposed, you know? Here's a woman who's trying to cover her modesty, but when she has the seizures, she falls down, and as a result of falling down, then her body is exposed. And then listen to what he said. She said, فَدْعُوا اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لِي. Make dua for me. Here's a woman, epilepsy. She's a believer. She believes in the Messenger of Allah. She asks the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wa salam, make dua for me. قَالَ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said something very significant. In shitti sabirti walakil jannah. If you wish, be patient and you will have al-jannah. Just be patient if you wish. In shitti sabirti. If you wish, just be patient, walaki, for you, al-jannah. You will have al-jannah if you be patient. وَإِنْ شِدِّي دَعَوْتُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَنْ يُعَافِيَكِ. And if you wish, I will make dua that Allah heal you. And let's stop for a moment and think about this. Here's a woman, make dua for me. He said, if you wish, be patient, and you will have Jannah, but if you wish, I will make dua and Allah will heal you. And I thought about this hadith many times. Why did the Prophet ﷺ, why he answered the woman like that? Why not just make dua for the woman? Just make dua that the woman be healed from her epilepsy. But the Prophet gave her choice. I'll make dua for you that you be healed, but if you be patient, laqil Jannah, you will have Jannah. She said, asbiru, I will be patient. But she didn't stop there. She said, inni atakashifu, but I'm exposed. فَدْعُوا اللَّهَ تَعَلَّ أَلَّا أَتَكَشِفَ فَدْعَى لَهَا. Just make dua, she said, that Allah don't expose me. So the Prophet made dua that when she have epilepsy, that she don't be exposed. That's a great hadith. This is a great hadith. Why? Because the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam don't always give you what you ask for. He give you something better. قال يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is closer to you than your own selves. Everything that he does is for our advantage. even though we may not understand it, we may not appreciate it, but everything that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salat wa salam, does for us is for our advantage. And so it was for this woman that Ibn Abbas said, Arika, Imra'atin min Ahli Jannah, you want to see someone, a woman from the paradise? It was this woman. Why? Because she was patient with her condition. That's hadith number one. Hadith number two. And after we do this, brothers and sisters, I'm going to close. I just want you to reflect upon it. Because there's some of you sitting here right now in this masjid as I'm speaking to you. You have a condition. I know about some of your condition. Other about your conditions I don't know about. Some of you sitting here right now might have the disease that they call AIDS. Many of you might have it. And I make dua for you, two things. Yes, that Allah cures it. But more than that, that Allah bless you to be patient with it, so that you may get a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Over the years, there have been people with this disease called AIDS. Irresponsible people. A man who would marry a woman without AIDS and don't tell her. That's wrong. Or a man would tell a woman, yes, I have it, but don't worry, you can't catch it. It's wrong. Be honest and say that I have a contagious disease. If I marry you, if I sleep with you, you can contract this disease. You can get it. There's an opportunity, there's a chance for you to get it. Be honest, be real, be for real. And it's better to be honest rather than to marry the woman under this false lie that she won't get it and she's gullible. And she marry you, and before you know it, she has the AIDS virus. It's no sin to have the AIDS virus, but it's a sin if you are not honest with people. So whatever disease you have, be honest and let the person know. And be patient. If it means that you'll never get married because of your condition, so it be. Make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, help me. Help me to be patient. Don't let me lie. Don't let me deceive people. And if you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a great reward. Whatever it is, be honest. Now the other hadith. This is a great hadith. All of them, the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is great. But consider this hadith. It's Rawayhu Muslim. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يؤتى بأنعام أهل الدنيا من أهل النار يوم القيامة. Remember I mentioned to you about rich people? On the day of judgment, Allah will get that person who had the most ease ever in the annals of history. More wealth than you can imagine. More wealth than Donald Trump. More wealth than Bill Gates. The person who lived the most luxurious life. The ones you want to be like. The ones you see with wealth and you wish that you had their wealth. One of those people. On the day of judgment, فَيُسْبِغَى فِي النَّارِ سَبْغَةٍ. And this person will be dipped just once in the hellfire. Just dip in the hellfire, taken out. You know the hadith. ثُمَّ يُقَالُ يَا إِبْنَ آدَمَ هَلْ رَأَيْتَ خَيْرًا فَقَطُّ هَلْ مَرَّ بِكَ نَعِيمُ قَطُّ Have you ever, O son of Adam, it will be said on the day of judgment, after being dipped in the hellfire, after living the most exorbitant life on earth, be dipped in hellfire just once? It will be asked, O son of Adam, have you ever experienced any good? Have any ni'mah, any blessings ever come to you? فَيَقُولُ He will say, وَاللَّهِ لَا لَا وَاللَّهِ يَا رَبْ And let's stop for a moment. What does that mean? That means the whole life that you live, the memory of it will be wiped out in one split second. Because the pain of the hereafter, the pain of the fire is so much that instantaneous feel that all the life that you live, all the luxurious things you had, you forgot about it in that split second, just being in the hellfire one split second. You think you doing something special with all these women. Don't forget about these women, brother. One dip in the hellfire. I'm not saying one day, one year, 1,000 years, a dip in the hellfire, and immediately, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks the truth. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet speaks the truth. وَيُتَى بِشَدِّ نَسْ بُطْسًا فِي الدُّنْيَا مِنْ أَحْلِ الْجَنَّةِ And then, the person of the most miserable condition ever in the annals of history. Allah knows who that person is. Now hear what I want you to do. I want you to go to the hospital and I want you to see that man laying on the bed who had his arms and legs amputated because he had diabetes. I want you to see somebody that got no limbs. I want you to go to the insane asylum and see people who lost their minds, don't even know who they are. I want you to go to the hospital bed and I want you to see somebody that's suffering because his spinal cord is finished and he has to be on a wheelchair the rest of his life. You can walk. I want you to think about Sheikh Abdul Rahman in prison who can't even see. You got your eyes. Yeah, you wear glasses, but you got eyes. You can see. I want you to think about that person who can't hear. Jihad would tell you, we were in Bristol. And when I gave a talk at one of the places, when the people listening to me, all the way in the back, there's a man named Nabil, a young man named Nabil. And as he was listening to me, he wasn't watching me. He was watching somebody else in the stand, one person. And as I was speaking, he was speaking not from his tongue, but sign language. Because that Muslim sitting there couldn't hear, so Nabil gave him sign language and the brother was able to hear my message through the sign language. He told me about somebody in Bristol who learned sign language and converted 3 or 4 deaf people using sign language. You take for granted the fact that you can hear. You take for granted the fact that you can see. You take for granted the fact that you can walk. But don't think about your condition. I know some of you have what they call kitchenette. You know kitchenette? It's a one-room apartment. And you complain against it. Okay, you should get a bigger place. Okay, you want to get married, get a bigger place. But when you think about your one room, go to prison where a person has to stay in a cell, maybe for the rest of his life, with no chance of getting out, no parole. You got a place. And you don't have to go far to go to the homeless shelter, go right down the street there. Go on Atlantic Avenue, Bedford Avenue, go on visit. Go on there with your kufi and your long bed and your jello beer. Go on over there and say, can I walk through for a minute? I want to see what it's like not having a home. Yes, your home may not be the best, but there are those who have worse than you. So this person, the person who suffered the worst ever in the annals of history, فَيُسْتَغَى سَبْقَةٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, and he will be immersed in Jannah for one moment. فَيُقُولُ لَا لَهُ يَا بِنْ Adam. It will be said to him, O son of Adam, هَلْ رَأَيْتَ بُؤْسًا قَطُّ, have you ever seen any adversity? هَلْ مَرْ بِكَ شِدَّةٍ قَطُّ, have any adversity touched you ever? فَيَقُولُ لَا وَاللَّهِ مَنْ مَرَّ بِي بُؤْسٌ قَطُّ وَلَا رَأَيْتُ شِدَّةٍ قَطُّ, I have never seen any adversity at all. Why? Because paradise will erase all the bad suffering that you did in this life. I don't care how long you live. If you lived 100 years, every day suffering in your life, you're going to forget about it the moment you touch paradise. Allahumma la aisha ila aishar akhirah. Oh Allah, there is no life other than the life of the hereafter. You want this stinking dunya. You want it because you don't understand al-akhirah. And you do anything you can just to get this dunya. La aisha ila aisha al-akhirah. Walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى صحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Brothers and sisters, I close out this dua with the words of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and please remember it. It will guide us. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم. Look to those who are less than you and do not look to those who are more than you. It is more fitting that you don't diminish Allah's blessings to you. Two things. Number one, whatever you have that Allah gave you, be thankful. ذَلِكَ الْفَضْلُ اللَّهُ يُؤْتِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ, that's Allah's blessing, He give it to whom He pleases. All of you who can see today, all of us who are sitting here who can see, when have you last thanked Allah for your ability to see? When? When did you last thank Him? Allah, thank you for allowing me to see, so that I can read the Quran, that I can see my beautiful wife, my handsome husband, my wonderful children, that I can see the masjid, that I can see the people. When did you last thank Allah? I suggest you today, this day of gathering, let us thank Allah for our sight. Let's thank Allah for giving us the ability to see all the years that we've lived. The 10 years, the 15 years, the 30 years, the 60 years, the 70 years. Thank Allah for all those years that you've given us to see. But let me go a step further. Might I suggest to you a way to show your gratitude for Allah giving you good sight? Why not this day and from today, show Allah our gratitude for Him giving us sight by looking only toward the halal? You want to do something? I challenge every brother here who's driving. When you get in your car today, lower your gaze. Look at only the halal. I challenge every brother who walks out of this masjid today, who gets on a bus, who gets on a train, who gets in a cab, who rides a bike, as you walk through the marketplace, as you get on the bus, lower your gaze. You want to thank Allah for giving you sight? Thank Allah by only looking at the halal and staying away from the haram and closing your eyes to the haram. and looking down on the haram, he looked to the halal. You want to think, be thankful to Allah? Easy to say, Allah, thank you for giving me good eyesight. That's easy. But the real thing, if you're really thankful for your ability to see, then focus these tender eyes on the good, on the halal, on the right. When last you thanked Allah for your ears, ability to hear. You want to thank Allah? Tell Him with your tongue, that's good. But if you really want to thank Allah, no more ghibah, no more backbiting, don't listen to it. I don't care how good it sounds, gossip, slander. I don't want to hear it. Brother, did you hear? I don't want to hear it. But brother, you don't know the latest juicy gossip. I don't want to hear it. You want to do something? Bring me Quran. Bring me Sheikh Hassan and let me listen to Quran. Let me listen to Hadith. Let me hear the haq. Let me hear the truth. Give me some nasiha. Help me. You want to thank Allah for those ears? Then listen toward the good. And when you do something, when you start looking at people, you know my hobby that I have? I have a hobby of looking at people. I like looking at people. I look at old people as they try to get around. And I said, oh Allah, you know what? If I live long enough, that's going to be me. So I just try to picture myself trying to go across the street. I saw one man, I was sitting in my car, old man, and he was trying to get across the street. He couldn't do it. He take a step, he was afraid, he stepped back. Couldn't do it. Look to those that are beneath you. Don't look at those who have all the wealth. Two things. Number one, be thankful. And number two, sabr. Be patient of your condition. I close with these words. When I look at people, I notice that Allah has given different people different things. Sheikh Hassan, Allah gave him a tremendous tongue to recite Quran. I can't recite like him. Then that's my test. Oh Allah, help me to recite better. Don't be envious of my brother. My brother has memorized the entire Quran. Many of us can hardly memorize one or two ayats of Quran. ذَلِكَ الْفَضْلُ اللَّهُ يُؤْتِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That's Allah's blessing. He gives it to whomever He pleases. Jihad and myself, we met a brother in Bristol named Ahmed Ali. Ahmed Ali from India or Pakistan, subhanAllah. What a scholar of Islam. He verses from Quran, hadith like that. Come from his mouth, flowing from his mouth, Quran and hadith like that. And I said, subhanAllah. Look how Allah gave my brother a great gift. And then I want you to start looking at people. And you would notice that there are some women who are so beautiful. You can't help but admit, what a beautiful woman. This is the way it is. And there are some women not as beautiful as that. And there are some women far from that in the eyesight of man. You would say that she's not a beautiful woman. She's not a pretty woman. You look at some men are handsome. You look at them, what a beautiful face, and people look at them, they marvel, oh, what a handsome young man. And then there's some people not as handsome, and then there's some who are far away from being handsome. And I look at all these people that Allah bless. And I imagine everyone is saying, boy, I wish I could be handsome like that. I wish I could be beautiful like that woman. But you know what? These are my last words to you. Whatever your condition is, you be thankful to Allah that it is as good as it is. And you be patient with Him for whatever it is. Why? Because you don't know people's trials. You know what, brother? Really? Truthfully? Some of you and Allah know who you are and who we are. If Allah give you $1 million, you go straight to hell. I have evidence from the hadith that there are some people who are poor and said, if I had wealth like this wealthy person who do the evil, I would do exactly what they did. Some of you can't do evil because you don't have money to do the evil. I was invited recently to Las Vegas. No, not to gamble. To give a talk in Las Vegas. A Muslim. Muslims in Las Vegas, akhi. Inshallah, I have to go, but I have to bring Ibrahim with me. Yes. Las Vegas. If some people, you give them money, they run to Las Vegas. Run to gamble. Run to drugs. Run to women. And that's the test. Some people, it's better that you don't have money, because the Prophet Muhammad said that he looked to the door of Jannah and found that most of the people were poor. You want wealth? I know you do. But Allah know better than you. And just maybe if he gave you all the wealth, maybe you spend it in the way of Allah, but maybe you spend it on the haram and throw yourself in the fire. Allah knows better. Maybe, brother, if Allah gave you a handsome face, and I see to me all of you handsome, but you know some are more handsome than others. Just maybe if Allah gave you a handsome face, brother, it'll be a trial you can't handle. There'll be so many women running after you. And with that beautiful face, you go straight to hell. Be thankful for whatever Allah gave you. Be thankful for your face. Be thankful for your condition. And remember this. Every adversity you have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you some reward for it. Taking some sin from you. So whatever your condition is, be patient.